Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Gun Owners News Hour with your host and Executive Director of Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt.
And welcome to this edition of the Gun Owners News Hour. Thanks so much for tuning in, be it on the radio or on the internet. Either one works fine for us. The guest that I have for you, Professor Mike Adams, University of North Carolina at Wilmington, has been dubbed an embarrassment to higher education. What's not to like? I've known Mike for quite some time. I've followed his writings. You can see them on townhall.com, where other equally politically incorrect folks are corralled. But what caught my eye especially was and reminded me that I was overdue in having Mike as a guest, was a column that had come out just the other day on townhall.com, and it's entitled The Rape of Kitty Genovese. And that's something that perhaps many of the listeners don't know anything about. So, Mike, for the younger folks that might be listening, why don't you just give them a thumbnail about what was the rape of Kitty Genovese?
Well, it's one of the most famous crimes in American history and also one of the most misreported crimes in American history. Back in March of 1964, Kitty Genovese, who was a bartender in Queens, New York, was walking home in the middle of the night when she was approached by a deranged rapist and murderer, Winston Mosley, who attacked her, and she began to scream, and this is where the legend kicks in. The legend was that there were 38 people who were in an apartment house across the street who either saw or heard the attack on her and did absolutely nothing. In reality, only a few people heard the attack. And it was really difficult. You know, visibility was really limited because of the lighting. And also people were accustomed to hearing altercations in the middle of the night in that little bar district across the street. And so, you know, a few people actually perceived what was going on. And some people did call the police. And as a matter of fact, when the light started to pop on in the apartment building, Winston Mosley took off. And this is where the New York Times reporting of the case is just really screwed up. They said, oh, well, you know, Mosley came back and finished her off. Well, what they don't tell you is that she crawled around the back of the building and got into an enclosed stairwell area where it wasn't open to the public. And wouldn't you know it, the only person who opened his door from up above and actually came outside of his apartment for just a second and clearly saw the rape of Kitty Genovese was an individual who was drunk and unarmed. And we have this incredible legend that's come out of it where people have talked about how this represents the callousness of our society. And my angle of it was this, that psychologists have appropriately responded to that case by talking about the dynamics of diffusion of responsibility and, you know, what are the factors that make people willing or unwilling to intervene in emergency situations. The question I really have is this: why didn't sociologists and criminologists explore the obvious issue of how things would have been different if either Kitty Genovese was armed or one of those bystanders had a handgun? That was the angle that I was taking in the article.
One of the things that we're going to be posting shortly, may already be up by the time folks are able to hear us, is probably fairly well known if you're looking at this kind of news on the web, as we do here at Gun Owners of America. But an Uber driver in Chicago saw what was about to be a mass shooting underway. And he was armed, even had a concealed carry permit. So this must be some kind of tenacious dude to get one of those in Chicago. And he pulled his piece and popped the perp and end of problem. So, yeah, that's the point that we really ought to take away from the Kitty Genovese story. She was in New York City, where you can get a permit for a gun, right, if you got a lot of money and you know a lot of really important people. And then maybe you can be one of those 1,000-plus that actually gets a permit. You know, it's no big deal for Donald Trump to get one. You feeling like Donald Trump today? So now that courts have told even Chicago got to issue permits, and they're viciously complying, but this guy happily had one, and he put it to good effect. That's the kind of thing, as you say, the folks that deal with Kitty Genovese, that was the dog that didn't bark for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting. You know, one of the other points that I raised in the article is that if you look at, you know, look over the course of the last 50 years since the Genovese case. If you look over the last 25 years, what has happened? We've seen this increase, obviously, in concealed weapons permits laws evolving in the United States of America. And the other thing we've seen is that there's been some research on this. Well, who do you think would do the research on the issue as to whether or not concealed weapons permits reduce or increase violent crime? Well, you would think that sociologists and criminologists would be jumping in and doing this research. Isn't it interesting that of the first 16 referee publications that showed that concealed weapons permits actually decrease violent crime, that a dozen of these articles appeared in economics journals, only one of them appeared in a criminology journal, and none of them appeared in sociology journals. It's interesting because, you know, we talk about the idea of the disinterested bystander. Well, I think that liberal criminologists and sociologists have become disinterested bystanders in this debate. They would rather ignore the issue and preserve their own ideological vision of the world than actually prevent young women from getting raped and murdered.
They come up with really stunning notions of whistles that women should have with them, and God forbid that they might have even mace, let alone a gun. They really have a mental block. I quite agree. Maybe it can be reduced to this formula, that what we're talking about and what the economists like John Lott, who had a benchmark work called More Guns, Less Crime, what we try to do is think with a sequential logic. Those who oppose what you and I are talking about will typically say, oh, I just feel so unsafe when the idea that somebody might be in the same room with me with a gun. And the operative word that I think is the one I use is feel. They think with their emotions. And so they're likely to come to different conclusions than if they were to actually say, okay, what are the facts and what are the other considerations that are going to be significant for coming to a conclusion?
Yeah, yeah. There was an interesting debate that occurred in one of my department meetings a few years ago where we were talking about preparing for an emergency situation if someone were to go ballistic on our campus and open up fire in the building. And it went on and on for about 30 minutes, and I finally raised my hand and I said, look, we're the only major in our entire university where we have law enforcement officers in the classroom. We're in the criminology department. And so the cops, when they get their degrees, well, they're in our classes. And I simply pointed out that because we have a few armed law enforcement officers in our building, a shooter will never come to our building to open up fire. They'll head for education or social work or the English department where they know they've got a bunch of unarmed feminists.
Yep.
And, you know, I said that. And what I meant to convey to my colleagues was, don't worry. You're safe. The reaction was that they got angry. They're shaking their heads, and you can see them visibly putting their heads down on their desk.
What can we do to disarm those cops?
And one of them had this great idea. She says, well, instead of a gun, why don't we just throw a backpack at them? I mean, that was an actual statement from a tenured full professor who's won multiple teaching awards at the university. It was quite interesting. One of the professors, and only one of them, after I made that statement at the department meeting, came after, well, let me pick this up in a minute.
Yeah, Yeah, that's great. We're talking with Mike Adams, a professor of criminology, of all things, and has written a lot about his fellow academics, and kind of eye-opening, and hope to take a look at some of his stuff before you send your kids and grandchildren to college. We'll be back very shortly. Don't go away.
Usually, the older one gets, the less you are able to absorb amino acids and the less you are able to repair the 100 trillion cells of your body. As a result, you'll have less energy, your tissues will shrink, and you'll become wrinkled. An older person will typically injure more easily and heal more slowly. Not fun. However, if you could consume a protein powder that is easier to absorb, then you may be able to gain back some strength, muscle, and speed of recovery. One World Whey is a highly digestible whey protein powder that may be the perfect answer for you.
My name is Errol. I'm 74 years old. You know, the taste of One World Whey is amazing. I play pickleball, and since taking One World Whey and your trace mineral supplement, I have more energy and recover faster from my working out. I used to take another grass-fed whey protein powder, but now I'm getting much better results using One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com.
Honey, it's time for dinner. What are you doing over there on your computer?
I'm shopping for a new wallet. Mine is falling apart. Hey, did you know there's a company called ID Stronghold that makes shielded wallets to prevent electronic pickpocketing?
Oh, I didn't realize there was such a thing as electronic pickpocketing. What is that?
Well, apparently, many of the new credit and debit cards being issued have radio chips inside them called RFID that transmit our banking information to card readers when we pay. Unfortunately, a bad guy can also get one of these readers and go around the city scanning people, collecting their credit card numbers and personal information without us knowing it.
Wow, that sounds scary. Since you're getting a new wallet anyway, you should definitely get an ID Stronghold shielded wallet. Are they more expensive?
No. In fact, I can get a shielded leather wallet from IDStronghold.com for the same price or less than regular unshielded wallets from other stores.
Sounds great. My wallet isn't falling apart yet, but let me pick one out too. I want to be protected, and these wallets at IDStronghold.com look fantastic.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Dorey, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit BrightsideBen.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Ben team. Go to BrightsideBen.com. That's BrightsideBen.com.
Spend your life with Bite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendivite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour. We're talking with Mike Adams today, a professor who is willing to speak truth to, I'm not sure it's power, intellectual power, I guess. And generally, I wouldn't say much for tenure, but in your case, Mike, I think it's probably saved your bacon more than once. And actually, they weren't interested in your bacon being saved. From what I can tell, they went after you anyway. And it made a big stink, so much for academic freedom.
Yeah. Well, I actually want to continue with that thought. I was starting before the break. Just an incredible statement. I was mentioning that only one professor actually came up to me after that department meeting where I suggested that we were okay and we were safe. And she just looked at me and said, look, we just have a difference of opinion on the issue of gun ownership. And my response was, no, we don't have a difference of opinion. Actually, what we have is one person who's familiar with the research and someone else who's not familiar with the research. At the time she made that statement, there were 26 refereed publications in academia that had studied the effects of concealed weapons permits on violent crime. 16 of them showed a reduction in violence, 10 of them showed no difference, and not a single one showed an increase in violence. Now think about that for a second. That was a criminology professor teaching in a criminology department who had no idea of what the research said on the issue of concealed weapons permits. I mean, the question that I'm raising is this. We have legal malpractice. We have medical malpractice. Is there such a thing as academic malpractice where people remain willfully ignorant of data that goes against their worldview presuppositions?
I think the word willful is very important. After all, in this field of refereed publications dealing with guns and crime, concealed carry and crime, one of the first wagons through, if you will, was by a liberal, Gary Kleck. I think it's Florida State, University of Florida, one or the other.
Yeah,
getting
right.
In trouble with some Floridians for not knowing the difference. But means this guy, Kleck, describes himself as a liberal, member of the NAACP and other liberal groups. But he clearly has the intellectual discipline to look at facts, and when facts disagree with his preconception, willing to say, well, can't find anything to support my previous ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
That's tough to do for anybody, frankly.
Well, you know, there's not enough of that going around in academia, and really one of the problems is that lack of intellectual diversity. I mean, if you really wanted to keep people honest, what's the thing that you have to hold in check? What you have to hold in check, basically, is their ego. They have to have just a little bit of humility, and that's just not going to happen in higher education when it turns into an ideological echo chamber and everyone is saying exactly the same thing, and you're getting nothing but positive reinforcement even when you're wrong. That has consequences.
And you're one of the very few that's ever had to fight to keep his position, tenured that it was. Why don't you give us a little bit of an account of that? Because that was not fun.
Well, you know, that was a strange case. It's really amazing because in 2006, I sort of started to work together with the Alliance Defending Freedom, an attorney by the name of David French. We were kind of working together on some free speech cases. 6 or 8 months before I went up for promotion to full professor, I started working with him, and I'd been a First Amendment advocate with a column on townhall.com for some number of years, and so it was really strange that they would actually go after me when I went up for promotion to full professor and deny a promotion on obviously ideological grounds. I'd won multiple teaching awards, and rather than coming along and saying, well, you're deficient in the area of research or teaching or service or just one of those areas, they said, well, you're deficient in every single area. And so we had a very strong circumstantial case. And, you know, when they told me I was deficient in teaching, I was actually in my office looking at a couple of teaching awards hanging up on the wall, including University Professor of the Year, you know, just 6 years before that, which was before I converted, by the way. It was interesting. So, you know, we took that thing and we fought it. And fortunately, because I had good attorneys, we went through the discovery process and found direct information, you know, the direct evidence of First Amendment retaliation. And here's really the sad thing is that after that point, the university decided, because they're playing with your tax dollars, that they were going to continue to fight the thing. And so we ended up going through this tremendous First Amendment battle to secure the status of the law before we actually won a jury trial. It ended up going on for 7 years, and I won. A number of people have fought before. I think this is probably the only time in American history where a conservative professor won a jury verdict in a promotion case against a secular university. I could be wrong about that, but I know of no other case.
Neither
do
I.
The sad thing is we had a $5,000 promotion on the line, and they not only had to pay that money and more in back pay, they had to pay my attorney $710,000 in legal fees. So what it really shows you is that they're really dedicated to the idea of turning our universities into ideological echo chambers. I mean, they are willing to go the extra mile to make sure that dissent is punished.
Now, $750,000 underscores the little saying that freedom is not free. The price starts at about $750 and clocking.
Yeah, but just glad I had good friends with the ADF and David French to guide me through the process. It was worth it in the final analysis, but we certainly never thought it would go on for 7 years.
Well, you got started in the university, as I recall. You were a liberal in good standing. Actually, when I entered graduate school, I was in that same category. And yeah. I didn't really start to question, of course, this dates me, but while I was in graduate school, and I'm not afraid to name names, my alma mater is American University, the Cuban Missile Crisis occurred. And two professors from supposedly different world views, a realist and an idealist, I believe, might have been their descriptions. All of a sudden, they both were lying on their back like puppies waiting for their bellies to be rubbed, saying United States needs to surrender to the Soviet Union and let the missiles stay in Cuba. And I thought, gee, where do these guys learn to kiss like that? They used to go at it. I mean, they would really say some pretty mean stuff about each other in the classroom. And then the rubber comes close to the road, and all of a sudden they're on the same sheet of music. And so that's when they started to lose me. There were other things that took me away from the liberal paradigm, the flaws of evolution being one of the main ones. But nevertheless, that was an interesting experience, and I would say that is the grace of God, because normally people don't convert in graduate school or beyond as you did. So we're both kind of outliers in the way things happen intellectually. Talking with Mike Adams, his stuff is, among other places, archived at townhall.com, as in town hall meeting, townhall.com, and we're going to be back and talk some more about academia.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
In the U.S. alone, a home invasion occurs every 13 seconds. On top of that, the average response time for 911 is over 15 minutes. That just won't cut it. Don't allow yourself or the important people in your life to be victims. When seconds matter, don't be caught stumbling for your firearm. Get the protection you deserve. Get yourself a hidden holster from HiddenHolster.com. It's the original hidden holster. The hidden holster is quick, easy, and convenient. It's versatile enough for the home, workplace, or virtually anywhere else you might need it. Have peace of mind with your firearm close by at all times. Go to HiddenHolster.com. That's HiddenHolster.com. If you own a firearm, you need a hidden holster. Your protection matters, and self-defense is the best defense. Go to HiddenHolster.com. That's HiddenHolster.com. The original hidden holster.
Healthy elimination is essential to high energy, a cheerful mood, and prevention of disease. Some of the founders of our modern holistic health thinking state that disease begins in a toxic colon. A toxic intestinal tract is the foundation for virtually all degenerative disease, and a clean and well-moving intestinal tract is the foundation of health.
I just want to say that you folks have an amazing product. I've taken whey protein products for years, and I've never noticed the results I have with your product. I've suffered with thoughts of constipation most of my life. Within a few days of taking One World Whey, I noticed a dramatic change. Also, in the past 2 years, I've experienced symptoms associated with diabetes. I feel horrible when I've had too much sugar, and I've been getting the foot pain as well. But I've noticed in the past week or so, I'm not feeling bad anymore, and the foot pain is gone. I'm just finishing up a 5-pound tub I ordered and just got off the phone ordering more. I love your product. Thank you.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Welcome back. Talking today with Professor Mike Adams, University of North Carolina at Wilmington. And just so I don't forget, which I almost did earlier, you can find his writings at townhall.com. He's also produced some books. The one you have has some letters to progressives. Is that close to the title?
Letters to a Young Progressive, yes, my latest book, and actually really the best one for those who are interested in the gun issue. It's not about guns, it's about the mindset, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I've actually got a few letters in there that deal with the issue of gun ownership. And so, yes, called Letters to a Young Progressive. The subtitle is How to Avoid Wasting Your Life Protesting Things You Don't Understand. And it makes sense because when it comes to academia, there's a real lack of understanding of the crime problem. And, you know, we really have people in academia who are trying to defend a vision of, they're not really trying to operate in the world as it is, but trying to defend a vision of the world as they would like it to be. And the problem is that we have these broad social initiatives where, you know, liberals have these ideas that, you know, we've got these motivated offenders out in society, and the way to make them no longer motivated to commit a crime is to do good things for them. You know, if we do good things for criminals, then they'll turn around and repay the favor by doing good things for society, namely not wanting to be criminals anymore. And that's a, you know, really a big component of the article that I just wrote about the Kitty Genovese case. I was borrowing from Marcus Felton's book, Crime in Everyday Life, and his theory of routine activities that he developed with Lawrence Cohen. You know, he said, you know, if you really want to understand the crime problem, you have to understand you don't really have a problem until that motivated offender encounters a suitable target in the absence of a capable guardian. And that's how the gun issue plays into things, in two ways. Obviously, if you try and mug or rape someone and they're armed, well, they're not a suitable target. The suitable target is someone who's unarmed. But, you know, what if you don't like guns? What if you don't want to own one? What if you don't want to possess one? What if you don't want to carry one? Well, the good news is that concealed weapons permits protect you even if you aren't into handgun ownership, because they increase the number of capable guardians in our society. Mm-hmm. Because the bystander who might be walking by, if he doesn't have a gun, he's just a witness. But if he's got a gun, he's a capable guardian. And so really, a lot of the way that we go about the approach to solving crime deals with what we think about human nature. And once we have a realistic appraisal of human nature, it helps us to come up with more practical solutions about how to deal with crime in the real world, not in the dream world as we wish it would be.
And as I recall, your Cuban Missile Crisis for you was the murder of some folks you knew on a road.
Yeah.
And just traveling by that spot on a regular basis kind of ground that horrible episode into your mind and kind of started opening doors, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, the last year of my college career, when I was, it was right around the time I defended my dissertation, and I was finishing up at Mississippi State University, and, you know, I was a graduate student. I was in a band playing music late at night, and I had a friend, a fraternity brother by the name of John Steckler. Now, he was a younger undergrad in my fraternity, but those boys used to come out to the bars all the time and watch me play music. And so I knew him well. Well, one evening there was a different band playing in our fraternity house, and he and his girlfriend went out front. They were in the parking lot, and she just happened to see a guy who was breaking into a car. She yelled at him, and he turned on them, and this guy had a gun, and he quickly convinced them to get in their car with him, and he took them out about 10 miles outside of town, not far from Starkville, Mississippi, where I went to school at Mississippi State University, and he murdered both of them execution style. And what really got me was that I actually drove by the murder spot. I had to drive by there every Thursday night on my way up to Tupelo, Mississippi, because I played at an old bar there called Jefferson Place. And because I had to drive by the spot repeatedly, I couldn't really quit thinking about what happened. And so as a political leftist, that actually was the first issue where I changed. I had voted for Michael Dukakis. I had supported a federal ban on handgun ownership. And then, boom, what happens? Well, someone I know gets murdered. He's unarmed, got murdered by someone who was armed, and reality changed my view on that issue.
You know, I was more fortunate than you. My first vote was by absentee, and I intended to vote for Lyndon Johnson, but I was so stupid and incompetent that I failed to get it notarized, which it plainly said had to be done. And so God saved me from myself, and my vote did not count. But, yeah, we were walking along the same road at different times of day, that's for sure.
Indeed.
So you've got a sort of a pixie sort of side to you, and this one headline for one of your columns I thought was just a hoot. It's entitled "Freeing My Inner Lesbian," and I can just see your colleagues. Oh no, he's done it now.
So it gets them reading the column, which is part of the purpose of being provocative.
Well, I loved it because it really kind of took them head on, and if it gets them to read it, hopefully it makes them deal with it. I don't know. What is your conclusion? Do they actually, some of them, start to take it seriously?
Well, you know, it really depends on whether you're talking about faculty members or students. I mean, I write very provocative things, and, you know, usually it gets professors angry and filing complaints, and sometimes it causes them to do something stupid that gives me more column fodder. With the students, it's a little bit different. I mean, I've really had cases where I've written provocative things, and you know, I like using these provocative titles. You know, there one time there was a transvestite up at UNC Chapel Hill who tried to get me fired from my job for my political opinions and religious opinions, and this individual was also an older mountain climber, and so I wrote a column about it called "The Old Rugged Crossdresser." You know, and, of course, boom. You know, I mean, people see stuff like that; they just go ballistic and they read the column. But the intent is that they'll get past the provocative title and they'll actually look at the substance of the column and try and understand that I really do have a point about the lack of tolerance on our college campuses. And there have been many cases where I've been at a university and a bunch of students have shown up with the intention of protesting. They hear my speeches about free speech and about the dangers that campus policies pose to all students, left and right, and many of them do end up leaving, agreeing with me. That is far more likely to happen when you're dealing with a college student as opposed to a college professor. They are usually too far gone. That's been my experience.
Well, and they've got too much at stake. The student hasn't charted his course yet, whereas the professor has got his reputation, he's got his job, his salary, his colleagues, and what they think of him. That's a pretty tough trap to get out of.
Yeah, well, and you know, part of it is simply a matter of investing time. They've spent so many years being leftist, and they've put so much effort into it that they can't admit that they were wrong. Because if they admit that they were wrong, well, then, well, gosh, look, I've wasted my whole life basically on this cause. It's not true. You get to people when they're younger, and that's less of a problem.
Well, it's a shame that that is the case, but it's not always the case. I mean, Martin Luther was no spring chicken, and he finally said, yeah, you know, we've had it wrong for quite a while, guys. And now it's true. His colleagues didn't take it too lightly. And that kind of got a kerfuffle going. When the left says something nice about you, it might be as this headline in, oh, golly, didn't I put the source of it? Slate. Free to be a jerk. What condescension. Maybe when we get back, we can talk about...
about that one, right.
How you are humored. Patted on the head. This is our little jerk, and we're not too happy about it, but we tolerate him. We'll be back with Mike Adams. Townhall.com is the place to go to find his writings. We'll be back shortly.
It's very easy to be a criminal. All you need to burglarize a home is one simple household tool, a pair of scissors. If your home security system can be compromised by a criminal using scissors, then you're making it easy for them. Almost every home security system, even those sold by big-name companies, has a weakness. The phone line. You shell out $1,500, get locked into a long-term contract, and think you're safe. But a burglar can destroy your alarm in seconds with one snip. And when a burglar cuts your phone line, you're defenseless. Simply Safe Home Security is the smarter choice. Built by Harvard engineers, Simply Safe uses a wireless connection to call the cops. Scissors can't cut it. And that means your home stays safe. 24/7 professional monitoring is under $15 a month with no contract. Simply Safe Home Security keeps you safer than the other guys for half the cost. Protect your home with the alarm you can trust. Simply Safe. Go to simplysafedefense.com now for an exclusive 10% offer. That's simplysafedefense.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
In the U.S. alone, a home invasion occurs every 13 seconds. On top of that, the average response time for 911 is over 15 minutes. That just won't cut it. Don't allow yourself or the important people in your life to be victims. When seconds matter, don't be caught stumbling for your firearm. Get the protection you deserve. Get yourself a hidden holster from HiddenHolster.com. It's the original hidden holster. The hidden holster is quick, easy, and convenient. It's versatile enough for the home, workplace, or virtually anywhere else you might need it. Have peace of mind with your firearm close by at all times. Go to HiddenHolster.com. That's HiddenHolster.com. If you own a firearm, you need a hidden holster. Your protection matters, and self-defense is the best defense. Go to HiddenHolster.com. That's HiddenHolster.com. The original hidden holster.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Talking today with a brother in arms behind enemy lines, Mike Adams, professor of criminology, University of North Carolina, and his stuff you can find at townhall.com. He's got books, Letters to a Young Progressive, I think is the latest. And but as we were heading out into the break just a few minutes ago, we agreed we wanted to talk about this condescending piece about free to be a jerk.
Oh, yeah. I'm really thankful for that piece. One of my former students let me know that it had shown up in the Charlotte paper, the Charlotte Observer. And actually, I think Greg Lukianoff at the Fire had actually given me a tip that this feminist who didn't like me very much was writing this column about my academic freedom victory. And it's interesting. I did see the article, and she had gone through and actually taken satirical column titles that I'd written, and one of them was, I think it was something like, behind every successful man there's a fat, stupid woman or something like that. And it was really interesting because they were satirical. The source of that was a number of years ago at Appalachian State University. They had a women's center and they were doing a bunch of crazy things. They're supporting this very restrictive campus speech code that says you can't offend anyone. But the feminist at the Women's Center actually had a 6-foot vagina costume. And so they
Nothing offensive about that, of course.
Nothing offensive about that as they were preparing for the vagina monologues, which everyone knows about that. That's just become a regular thing on campus. These women are walking around dressed as a 6-foot sex organ. And so, I'm looking and just realizing, how ridiculous they are. So I go to their website, and it is loaded with all of these anti-male comments. So all I did was to take the comments, and I actually changed the genders. That's where I got the title for that column that was something like, behind every successful man, there's a fat, stupid woman. And so what you saw then is that this feminist author in the Slate had actually gone and taken the most offensive column titles without reading the columns and realizing
that's called research, doctor.
They were saying the exact opposite of what she was implying that they were saying. Well, what kind of a Slate feminist columnist would be so inept and so incompetent that she couldn't possibly do her research. Well, you guessed it. She's a college professor. Mm-hmm. And so she went and ran this column, and apparently, I don't know, it looks like it might be nationally syndicated as well. It was picked up in a number of the print journals. And
if it's in Slate, it's national. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and it's picked up by some of the other newspapers as well, standard newspapers. And I noticed the response. I looked at some of the threads, by the way. And of course, you've got the same illiberal mob jumping in and yay saying, but a lot of people were saying, hey, wait a second. Why didn't you read the column? He's saying the exact opposite of what you're suggesting that he's saying. And so that's how being provocative sometimes actually wins you some adherence. I'm sure a lot of people looked at that article, which was meant to be denigrating, and they read it and ended up researching me and finding out about what I really do.
And I don't think the author was ever embarrassed. That's the
No. That would require humility. But at any rate, that's one of my defenses of using provocative language and titles is that it does get attention, and in the final analysis, I think the truth wins out.
I guess in the spirit of Jonathan Swift, who wrote A Modest Proposal, that the way to solve the English famine was to broil tasty babies to stave off the famine, that actually may be something as horrible as what could happen in North Korea. So it's hard to write satire when life exceeds it. But
And clearly some feminists are not swift enough to understand good satire.
Thank you. That's great.
I couldn't resist.
No, well, you were quick on the uptake, I must say. The time to compromise with campus liberals. Now, that certainly was one with a tongue in cheek.
Right.
So why don't you go through some of your modest proposals, because it must have just blown the whole circuit board at the UMC.
Well, I'm actually not looking at the column right now, but I'm guessing that's where, in that particular column, I've written many hundreds of them along the same lines, where I was probably talking about the campus diversity centers and things of that nature. And,
and the various
politics.
Departments and why there aren't any, there's no diversity in the English department. So, hey, let's get a Republican in there, right?
Well, yeah, you know, that was really started when, our current faculty was upset that the UNC Board of Governors in the state of North Carolina all of a sudden was turning Republican because the Republicans control the House, the Senate, Lieutenant Governor, Governor. And they said, hold on just a second, we can't have all these Republicans. And interestingly, 10 or 12 years ago, when we were talking about the issue of diversity in higher education, I pointed out that at that time we had 33 professors in the English department and not one Republican. My compromise was very tongue-in-cheek. Sure, we'll put some Democrats back on the Board of Governors, but why don't you put some Republicans teaching English and feminist studies and African-American studies and gay and lesbian studies and the various studies of the day majors that are popping up everywhere. So
let me suggest a candidate for one of those compromises. How about an evangelical Christian pastor in the queer studies program?
Right. You know, imagine that. So,
so yeah, these people are not to be believed, and they do not. They don't have the capability of seeing themselves. I guess you're probably right. Humility is a very operative word. But hopefully, when you're smoking them like this, there are students that may have never even given that a thought. They accepted it without question, because who would have taught them to question? That requires critical thinking, and that's definitely not approved of in most of academe. And all of a sudden, they're confronted with somebody's holding his own and making points that really hadn't been allowed before you came along.
Yeah, and, you know, I really wish that other professors would do it. We have other conservative professors at UNC Wilmington, but generally speaking, they're just afraid to speak out, and they make it difficult for everyone else. If, you know, there can't be a target on one man's back if half a dozen professors are getting out and saying essentially the same thing. So that's really the problem that we're facing.
And frankly, know, they need to be called out because silence can be interpreted as consent. So if you're under attack and they're not saying anything and they know very well that what's being done is wrong, then that doesn't speak well for them.
That's right. That's right.
So that's I'm just very privileged to have the position that I have, heading up an organization. I'm supposed to be taking controversial positions. And after the Piers Morgan interview, and we had a tremendous amount of feedback, very little of it pushback, and somebody was commenting about all these negative things that had been said, and one of the Facebook comments was, "That's what we pay him for." So, you know,
exactly.
I'm in a great position, and I'll admit it. And I just can't say often enough how much I appreciate the members of Gun Owners of America that make it possible for me to be mounted up and drawing flack. But you're behind enemy lines, and I just can't tell you how much I admire your pluck, because when you're fighting alone, that's not nearly as much fun. And there got to be times when you think, is this really worth it? Am I really doing the right thing? Is this productive?
Well, there have been times, but, you know, there's just this fire that gets lit under you, basically. Every time I get discouraged, they do something that's so outrageous that there's a little voice within me that says you have to respond to it. So I just wish more conservatives would jump in the battle and realize it's fun, and if we do it in mass, they can't target us anymore.
Maybe what we need to do is to have seminars. What's that fire organization? Freedom of something? It's an education.
Foundation for Individual Rights and Education. Uh-huh.
Yeah, maybe they could have guerrilla warfare seminars for professors with tenure, so that, you know, they don't risk it all. They only risk losing all their friends, no dinner invitations, no invitations to cocktail parties, and any other interesting junkets. That's all for Bolton, but at least it's fun.
Well, the closest thing to that is the Leadership Institute does it for students, so maybe there is some room for expansion there.
You know, I will get a hold of Morton Blackwell, who's a longtime friend, and suggest that I think Morton might explore that. It would certainly be helpful if we could multiply your numbers. Dr. Mike Adams, University of North Carolina at Wilmington, townhall.com, right? Townhall.com.
Yes, indeed.
Is where a lot of your stuff is archived. I just want to thank you for what you write, and man, it must be great to be in one of your classes. Thanks, sir.
Well, thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered if you could make electric, light, or heat in your home for free? How about a motor that charges batteries at the same time? What if this also restores useless batteries and saves you lots of money? Come to our Renaissance Charge Conference Workshop on August 15th and 16th in Fort Lauderdale. Visit r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-304-2954. 208-304-2954.
More and more people are discovering the incredible benefits of alkalizing the body, and there's no better product for it than AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds, just a few drops in water will rid your body of harmful waste and give you more vibrance and vigor than you've had in years. Now buy two bottles and get $10 off your order. Call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
All loans subject to Index Corp. Will must be business at least 1 year to apply.
Attention small business owners needing financing. Are you too busy running your business to deal with the slow lending process of your bank? Are you frustrated at the paperwork and delays just trying to get a decision? Then you need OnDeck, the A-plus Better Business Bureau rated small business experts, where our simple application process takes as little as 10 minutes and funding could be available in just one business day. At OnDeck, we focus on your business operation and cash flow, not just your personal credit score. And we're ready to help with loans of up to $250,000. True business business loans, not credit card advances. OnDeck provides financing to a wide variety of small businesses like restaurants, plumbing, landscaping, freight trucking, and healthcare providers. If you're frustrated with the paperwork and long decision times of traditional lenders, contact OnDeck. Funding could be available in just one business day. OnDeck is publicly listed on the New York Stock Exchange and has provided over $2 billion to small businesses like yours. So go to OnDeckLending.com today or call 800-293-6819. That's 800-293-6819.